We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Monday to you and happy game week to you. Better believe it. It's a Monday, August 26th edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, kicking off from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And for the next 3 hours. Yeah, it's the full three-hour Monty today. We're bringing you home on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Little pep in our step, little extra something in my voice today, because we'll have LSU football, UL football. By the end of this week, other teams on the other sidelines. There's going to be a scoreboard, and it's all going to matter. And we're going to talk plenty about LSU's final scrimmage leading up to a matchup with Georgia Southern, the Raging Cajuns. They are getting ready for a battle with Mississippi State. Bulldogs have been littered all over the national news the last 72 hours, and suddenly they're going to get a Cajuns team at 11 a.m. bright and early from a party city on Saturday morning in New Orleans. And, of course, the Saints had a preseason dub over in the Meadowlands. Drew Brees looked good in a very small window. We're going to discuss all of the above and high school football jamborees later this week as well. But in South Louisiana, we're not immune to the news, I think, of the year in the country and worldwide with sports. I'd be a fool not to lead off with Andrew Luck. And I think anybody listening or anybody that witnessed what happened Saturday night and the reverb from the weekend, jumping the shark to this week, if you haven't been forced to think about just sports and their place in our lives and in the world, if that Andrew Luck just tidal wave didn't give you some kind of perspective or force you to think a little bit, I'm not sure what will. And I don't know if I can help you. But I do have some thoughts on it, and I'm going to lead with just an incredibly shocking storyline, but one that I think is going to become more common. Would love for you to jump in. Again, we're going to move fast today. It's football season. Kind of like LSU's offense. According to Coach O today, we forgot what it's like to huddle up. So if you want to get in, hurry up. 706-0111. 10 days to 14 days in the making, apparently, this decision. Luck was moving laterally, throwing the football just a week ago at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy. And he said after a preseason game against the Bears this past Saturday night, he was smiling then because he knew that would be the final time that he threw it with the uni on in that stadium. And so the very first thing I will do is defend his right to make this decision. Don't feel like I need to go overboard in doing so. The people that booed him inside of Lucas Oil Saturday night, that might just make the people in Philly look like choir boys and gals. I mean, seriously, Philly has thrown batteries at people. They have booed and pelted Santa. What happened Saturday night in Indianapolis is an all-time low or high, depending on how you look at it, in the lunacy of fanatics at a sporting event. It's remarkable when you think about it. How do you take over from Peyton Manning? Well, let me tell you. You draft a kid number one overall out of Stanford who's got some of the best football genes and IQ that maybe we've ever seen this side, you know, of Peyton Manning. And you ask him to weather the storm of one of the crappiest offensive lines in football in this 2010s decade. Somewhere Eli Manning is kind of looking cockeyed at me right now, but trust me, Andrew Luck's been dealing with that really bad front five for a lot longer than these last, say, two seasons in the Big Apple for Eli and the Giants. And so it's a bombshell. I defend his right to do it, and I think that this is a direction, as I hinted at earlier, that more and more will take. And what's interesting is there was a rash of these early retirements that were happening, if you noticed, by the Bay a couple of years ago. Patrick Willis looked like he could have been an all-timer. I mean, in that Ray Lewis mold out of Ole Miss with the San Francisco 49ers, and then a guy that suited up next to him. And you know what? Clint, I'm going to forget his name right now. I know he played at Wisconsin. Borland, I believe, is his last name. If you look at me and try to tell me his name is Al Borland, I'm just kicking your ass right out of the 237 Roof Studios. I think it might have been Chris Borland from Wisconsin. Yep, there you go. Thumbs up from Clint. Asses will remain unkicked. But this, I think, is something we'll see more of. Because what generations of NFL players have now told these young bucks is that the league doesn't care about you when it's life after football time. And these guys, especially the ones that make their moolah early on, especially the ones that get that huge second contract, the kind of thing that right now Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott are fighting for, the kind of thing that, you know, you may remember about 3 weeks ago, there was some consternation about a certain Saints wide receiver looking for that second contract. Because of the flops that were Jamarcus Russell and Sam Bradford, they're not giving these ungodly sums of money to rookies anymore. So they all want that second deal. Andrew Luck is an example of a guy who got that second deal and then realized that if he didn't take care of himself, well, what good was the third deal going to do for him? Might do a ton for his kids down the road, right? But what good would that third deal do for him? So there are some very obvious low-hanging fruit takeaways to me of this Andrew Luck bombshell. I'll repeat that word because it's nothing short of that. The obvious takeaways, the people in Indy that were booing him are idiots. There's no two ways around that. The obvious takeaway, how could you not defend his right to do this? I heard Jordy Holtberg say it earlier. I'm right there at the poker table with you. I'm doubling down, brother. Or blackjack, as it were. Whichever game that I'm losing money at. There's no question that Dan Dockich and Doug Gottlieb are out of line and just flat out wrong. There's no other way to look at this storyline. If the guy's teammates are saluting him, if people from around the league are saluting him, or at least his ability to do this, well, then you got to have at least a bit of humanitarianism about yourself, in my opinion. But I think some of the non-obvious takeaways, this will create a semi-slippery slope. And I thought that one of the absolute best tweets that came out in the aftermath of things, Lawrence Tynes, longtime kicker for the New York Giants, Andrew Luck retiring is a huge red flag for the NFL. A franchise QB retiring in his late 20s is bad for business. Ding, 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 ding. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. They've learned from generations of NFL players that life after football isn't terribly kind. You may have saved up the money, you may have blown the money, but some of the healthcare benefits may not exactly be on your side. You may not get walked down the path to lifetime recovery. Everything we're hearing with concussions and CTE, it can be tough. A lot of you listening to my voice right now are saying, Ben, I don't want to hear it. They make tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't want to hear it. And I'm going to tell you that's not a valid criticism, in my opinion, of Andrew Luck, for example, deciding to step down. Now, some of these early retirees, and I'm going to ask you to rank them in a few minutes during this 4 o'clock hour, some of these guys are doing it for reasons that might seem a little more selfish if you want to view it that way, right? Rob Gronkowski, what is he pursuing? Life on the silver screen. Jim Brown kind of did that. Then you've got basically everybody that ever played for the Detroit Lions and was fed up with losing. Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders. Guys retire early for different reasons. Say the same thing for Chris Borland and for Patrick Willis, who I mentioned earlier. They're all going to have their own reasons. But if you listen to the Andrew Luck speech, and we'll play some snippets of it throughout the 3 hours that we have today on the program. If you listen to it, that's a man that's struggling maybe as much mentally with this as anything else. as bad and as taxing as it has been physically on his body, you could tell that mentally this thing has just spun him for a loop that he can't continue to make circles around. And for me, I understand what he did, but I was blown away by what happened Saturday night. So wanted to lead off with that. Glad I got to share a little bit of it. On the other side, we'll go sink or swim, and we'll get some of your takes. Great guest list today. We're starting to get the band back together. It's Monday for a game week, and so Gus Kattengill with ESPN 100.3 Radio in New Orleans. We'll be talking Saints with Gus at 4:30. Ruffin Roderick with us at 5:15. Tank Lotief, head football coach of the Kaplan Pirates, straight up 6 o'clock. And James Buers, he'll be with us weekly as well from the Acadiana Advocate, talking Kiwanis Jamboree and then some of the one-off Jamboree matchups that the area is going to have later this week. Eunice Iota, LCA Catholic Point Capee, Catholic New Iberia going up to Nacogdoches Central. We'll cover it all with James Buers at 6:30. And we've got the latest from Ed Orgeron and LSU today as well. So stick with us. Loaded edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Just getting started on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
An incredibly appropriate lead-in. Sink, swim. A couple options. I'm going to give those to you here. I want to get some of your temperature on this. You heard some of my takes. The number for you to play as we continue on the Andrew Luck train here, 706-0111. Don't forget, we'll talk Saints with Gus Kattengill in about 12 minutes. And then after that, you'll get a heavy dose of the latest on LSU football, including a newcomer that's making big-time waves at the cornerback position. But, CD, I've given enough, I think, of my spiel. Again, I want to hear from you and our listeners, too. Let's get to the music, then I'll hit the question.
Exciting and new.
Let's put this thing in context. The history of American sports. Is Andrew Luck the most shocking early sports retirement ever? Call us up. Let us know. 706-0111. Clint, you are wearing Indy Colts blue on this Monday. I don't know if that's a show of solidarity, but what's your take?
To me, it has to be the most shocking one of all time because of the fact it's a starting quarterback in the NFL. It feels like nobody saw this coming. Now, mind you, of course, we're kind of a couple thousand miles out of Indianapolis. We don't necessarily see them day in and day out, and we see that Andrew Luck has been hurt quite a bit. But I'm going swim here because it was one of those moments in time. He's not going to remember exactly when I saw the Adam Schefter tweet pop up. It's one of those things that we'll be talking about maybe 5-6 years down the road as where were you when you saw the Andrew Luck retirement tweet from Adam Schefter. I had to wind up having a double take to make sure there was a blue check mark and I didn't get got by some fake Twitter account.
Who shot JR in Dallas type of moment, huh?
Exactly.
You needed to know where you were. Well, here's the thing. I disagree with you, and I'll put it like this. Had there been Twitter in 1995, dude, they'd have broke the internet with Michael Jordan retiring. Broke the freaking internet. So I'm going to give you actually one per sport that I think were more shocking than Andrew Luck. So for me, what happened Saturday night was the way it happened might have been the most shocking ever. In the middle of a preseason game, at home, waited till it was over, gave a presser. By the way, a really intriguing and I think heartfelt presser. But still, the way it happened was shocking. But I think that Michael Jordan retirement 1.0 in 95 was more earth-shattering than this. I'll go to the football side, and I'll tell you that I think Barry Sanders stepping aside at the age of 31 was more shocking than this, because as great as Andrew Luck has been his past 7-plus years in the league, Barry Sanders was arguably the best to ever do it at his position. Now, there's one or two other guys that we'd have to throw into that mix, including Jim Brown, whose retirement at age 30 in 1966 needs to be considered here. But I'm going to tell you that MJ, from an NBA standpoint, was more shocking. I'll say Barry Sanders calling it quits from the Lions, seemingly at the top of his powers, was more shocking. And let me give you one from baseball, too. You consider some of the arm issues that reportedly he was having. This is before my time, amigo. I'm going to tell you that Sandy Koufax, retiring at age 30, would qualify maybe as more shocking as well. Certainly shocking at a minimum. He had just won his third Cy Young. He led the Dodgers at that point to the NL pennant. Now, the issue is this. His early retirement sprung from chronic arthritis in his pitching arm. That's a pretty big deal. And at that time, surgery was considered to be a major risk. So they didn't exactly, you know, hook you up with whatever it may be. Tommy John, you know, there was no Dr. James Andrews to just rush you back into production a year later. Didn't exactly have that option. So I'm giving you three right there that I think may be more shocking. But again, the way that this all kind of trickled out on Saturday, considering that social media plays such a huge part in all of it, yeah, I think a lot of people were left with jaws to the ground. Come on, it's football week. Call us up. Let us know what you think. I get it. You want your purple and gold, your black and gold, your vermilion and white. You're going to get all of it, plus prep football. But this is probably the biggest sports storyline of the year. So call us. Let us know what you think. 706-0111. And then there's, you know, the whole part of this story where the Colts are actually going to do right by Luck. Whereas they really, if they wanted to, don't have to pay him out, whatever it was, I think $24.8 million, they're going to honor that. So it was just kind of surreal Saturday night, especially when you go back and you read some of the accounts of reporters in the room. Because while all cameras were on Luck, well, there was owner, you know, Jim Irsay, and there was head coach Frank Reich, and these guys that by all accounts were just, I mean, looked like they had been at a wake or a funeral. I mean, just puffy red eyes and everything, and all this after a third preseason game. So I don't think we've ever seen anything maybe quite like that before. Although we did last year. Who was it with the Bills? Was it Vontae Davis?
Yeah, I think he up and quit like in the middle of a game.
Halftime, bro.
Like halftime, he's like, I'm retired, guys.
Just halftime. I'm done with this.
No press conference, no nothing.
I'm tired of doing this, not to my body, but to my win-loss ledger. As a human, it affects my psyche to continue playing for the Bills. So that's a little different story. But, yeah, I think what we saw and the way it unfolded on Saturday night is really what's catching a lot of people's attention. All right, while we have a moment, I'm going to let you hear a little bit from Andrew Luck. He was stuck in an incredibly different and difficult cycle. And ultimately, I think that led to his undoing here.
I've been stuck in this process. I haven't been able to live the life I want to live. And after 2016, where I played in pain and was unable to regularly practice, I made a vow to myself that I would not go down that path again. I find myself in a similar situation. And the only way forward is to remove myself from football in this cycle.
We'll get one more, and here, look, he's a human. He certainly understood everything that was going on inside of Lucas Oil Stadium. The boos hurt.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I didn't say I heard the reaction. Yeah, it hurt. I'll be honest, Chap. It hurt.
Just brutal. And, you know, then there's the money part of it. I mentioned that the Colts are going to do right by Luck, but they're only going to give him so much financial rope there. Let's go to owner Jim Irsay. How much money does he estimate that his now former franchise quarterback is leaving on the table?
He's leaving, you know, $450, $500 million on the table potentially. I mean, $500 million. And he's saying, you know what, you know, I want to have my integrity has to be real. I have to be able to look T.Y. in the eye, look my teammates, look coach, look Chris in the eye and say, I am all in. And he just didn't feel at this point in time he could do that.
I got to say, the more I continue to hear it, read about it, watch it, I respect it. Now, here's what I do know, and I'll head toward our halfway point of the 4 o'clock hour, leaving with this thought. Clint, could you imagine if this were – Breeze is a bad example because he's already won a Super Bowl for the city, and he's 40 years old.
Could you imagine if in about 3 or 4 years, Michael Thomas just said, I'm good here? Could you imagine? That's the only thing that I'm trying to – there's really not being fair to the Colts fans that were booing, but I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. If it happened to you, you think you'd hold your composure?
I don't think I'd be able to. I mean, you bring up Michael Thomas. What if it was, like, hypothetically, Alvin, a guy like Alvin Kamara wound up hanging it up, like, and you find out on Twitter halfway through the ball game, and then you wind up seeing him on his way out? Wouldn't you start booing him?
No, I would not.
That was more rhetorical.
No,
but okay.
I would not. And I don't know that there's much discernible difference between AK-41 and Michael Thomas here, right? These are third and fourth year players that are entering their prime. And so if either of those guys did this at the end of a Saints preseason game, I wonder what the reaction would be. We like to think that we're better than what happened in Indy. Would it have been? I don't know. I've been in the press too long, brother. You put me in a spot like that, I don't boo, I don't cheer, I just kind of am there, right? But I wonder what the mass reaction would have been. All right, we'll keep it a lot more local on the other side. Gus Kattengill, his first Monday run of this football season. We'll get a preview of the 2019 New Orleans Saints. Talk some of the news of the day. Sheldon Rankins activated from the PUP list and a lot more. And then the latest from LSU's camp. It's a game week for the Tigers. We'll discuss them at 4:45. So stick with us. More Bumper to Bumper Sports bouncing your way on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Mark this moment, because literally right now, this feels like the start of football season for me. We get to get rolling with one of our favorite regulars. Back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. We'll waste no time. Let's get out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Gus Kattengill, host of the Sports Hangover, ESPN 100.3 in the Crescent City. How the heck are you, Gus?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm happy I'm home in Metairie because my wife might need an arc to get home. It's pouring down here, dude. How you doing, man?
Hey, things are good here. We'll hope that the rain doesn't come in this direction. Your biggest takeaways from that opening drive where we saw the first team offense all together, first time this preseason?
Oh, man, it's what we've been seeing at practice. And I say that because I was called Captain Panic last Wednesday when I went to practice and Sean Payton said that Drew Brees was going to play. I'm like, dude, Greg Williams is going to blitz you. I've seen enough. The guy has been absolutely assassin sharp, man, at practice. And that practice alone, he was dropping dimes in the back of the end zone. And just, I mean, we've seen him. He looks good and he looks, you know, if anything, it's been a talking point then of should there be such a gap between a 40-year-old quarterback and Teddy Bridgewater? Because it's the Grand Canyon, man, when you just see it. But you know what? Here's the thing, Ben. That's why he's going to put on a gold jacket one day, dude. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason. He's just a machine. And what was beautiful about that is on the outside looking in, you know, just at first glance, dude, you see it, right? 8 plays, 2 third down conversions. You see him call the mic. You see him pick up the blitz. You see the accuracy to Thomas on the near sideline in traffic. The touchdown pass is beautiful away from the safety. So that's the easy thing to see. What I love was Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network did a little minute 35-second video. And in that, when he's talking about how Thomas and Kamara are great, you know, options, I'm looking at the line. The fact that you saw Eric McCoy in his first action with Breeze under center, man, he picked up those blitzes. He blocked well. You saw Kamara pick up the blitz on the Thomas touchdown to help McCoy out there when they were trying to come up the middle to Drew. Those are the little things that really stood out to me. You see the passes that Drew, whether it's the wheel route, near sideline pass to Thomas, or the TD pass, there's a pocket. And then the third thing, Ben, you see the trust factor that Drew has already with his center. On that touchdown pass, you see the pocket start getting closer towards him. Doesn't move on his base. He's completely set, and he makes a beautiful, accurate throw, trusting that he's not going to get hit, trusting his rookie center. That was, to me, as important as just driving down the field in 3 minutes, man, and scoring a touchdown. It's the fact that you're seeing why I've been so excited and said 2011's records are going to be challenged this year, because Jared Cook didn't even play, Ben, and he's nursing a little injury. But I'm told that that was the regular season, he could have gone. But my point is, when you add that guy, Kamara, Thomas, Cook, three guys, three different position groups, where I'll bet the house, dude, 50-50 balls, I'm taking those three guys.
I love, Gus, that you related it back to McCoy and his progress as well as a rookie. I think you just answered the question I had in mind, but I'm going there anyway. The first four games of last season without Mark Ingram, it was the Kamara and Thomas show, but they were overly reliant on those guys. Teams started right. The key as much as they humanly possibly could. Any fear of that now that Ingram's in Baltimore?
No, not at all. Because, look, here's the thing. I think you learned from a little of that. And look, here's the thing. Over-relying, yeah, but it produced. I mean, the guy had three TDs, four TDs, two TDs in different games. So it works. I think what's going to help is, like I said, once you add the tight end dynamic. And look, that was one drive, right? It made sense. Drew knows them. Drew trusts them. You can bet that drive was probably scripted to maximize the amount of time that Drew kept the ball. There were quick passes. There were plays that he could read and go to. He has yet to really integrate some of those other receivers. Look, you saw a little bit with Emmanuel Butler on Saturday night with four grabs, five targets. Let's see him start to get worked in, Traquan as well. But the Jared Cook dynamic is going to add so much to it. Then practice after practice, we see on plays where Cook's not even the target, but him leaving the line of scrimmage and going up the numbers, and then to have a play where Thomas does a quick out. And, I mean, the poor safeties and corners have no idea what to do. One has to take the seam route. One has to move up quickly to try to defend Thomas. And guess who they drop out of the backfield, dude? Kamara. And then he's wide open coming out of the backfield, and it's just space. So I think that element alone, wait till you see that on Monday night, 2 weeks from today. I'm telling you, the Jared Cook element is going to add so much to that. So, again, Thomas, Cook, Kamara, and then you single in everything else. I don't know who you're stopping if you're on defense.
Gus Kattengill, host of the Sports Hangover, talking Saints with us on 103.7 The Game. For the duration of camp, and look, that could be practice, games, some combination of both, the most impressive newcomer to this defense, who has it been, whether it's a rookie or somebody that came over in free agency?
I would say, I can give you one on each. Free agency, Malcolm Brown's had a really good camp, and I think you'll like what you see out of 90. And it's something that's sort of needed. Look, you got really good big news today that Sheldon Rankins is not going to start the season on the PUP list. That's a huge difference. And I think it's to add his growth to come back in and also to add his rehab there. Because if you're on PUP, you can't do stuff on the field. Not being on PUP means he can do stuff off the side on the practice field, practice with pads and a helmet. You won't be able to do that if you're on PUP. So by every indication, they're looking at mid to early October for him to come in. Week 6 to 8 would be different than waiting all the way to week 8. So it is going to be interesting to see with Onyemata missing that first game. Rankins now at least coming in, but Malcolm Brown has to fill a void, and he's looked really good at practice being able to do that. So obviously in free agency on the defensive side, that stands out. I still like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I'm a bit surprised we haven't seen a lot more of him kind of step up in gameplay. But again, there's a reason, you know, some guys are our first, second, third, fourth round picks. Let's see how long it takes them to kind of figure it out. But I think before it's all said and done, you'll see number 22 make some plays on this team at some point on the defensive end for sure.
All right, help us out with some nerdy football stuff here, Gus. With Sheldon Rankins activated from the PUP list, is that going to affect somebody's chances of making the 53-man that was kind of on the border?
Yeah, I think it has to, right? Because you're going to need and use a roster spot for somebody that's not going to play for you. So, and remember, Onyemata is not as well. So I think what you're going to see is week one's roster is going to be different than week two's roster based on that. I mean, you're going to have to use a roster spot and be able to carry some defensive linemen now, because you can only dress 46, but you know, 53 is being taken. And also, look, the health of the offensive line is something to kind of keep an eye on. So you may have to carry in week one, an extra D lineman, an extra O lineman, that's probably going to affect, you know, if there's a tight place at, let's say, receiver. We were talking about that today on our show. Is Keith Kirkwood in trouble? I'm just thinking of roster spots. I'm thinking of where you're, who you're going to address. Saints primarily use three receiver sets, not four receiver sets, especially now with Jared Cook. So a guy like Kirkwood in trouble of making the roster even though he was on there last year. Maybe he goes back to the practice squad and starts there. Does he last there? And in defensive secondary, does Patrick Robinson need to, I don't know, I wouldn't say have a big game on Thursday, but is it him and Ken Crawley? I don't know if you can keep both, again, because you kind of need to have some roster flexibility at the D-line and O-line position. But, yes, Ben, if you're taking Rankins off of PUP, that means that it's a roster spot. So somebody, because Deontay Harris is on this team, right, Ben? So that's a player that was not on the roster last year that's now new. So at least one spot for sure you know is now gone. Eric McCoy kind of replaces, you know, Unger. You can kind of go back and forth with that. Saquon Hampton, I think he's on this roster as a rookie. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely affects the roster and how you fill it out.
Gus, got to let you take a whack at the pinata on the story du jour. Give us your 2 cents, your 4 cents, what have you, on Andrew Luck retiring and the way that it happened.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see some of the reaction that you're getting. I think athletes and players that have dealt with injuries understand. It is surprising, I guess, to sort of see some at the same time on the timing. I think that's kind of part of the reason to not feel this way and know this way beforehand. I just, you know what, Ben, I'll go to David Wesley, the first year that the Hornets moved here from Charlotte. And it was my first time covering NBA on a day-to-day. And I just remember after game one, Wesley had really bad plantar fasciitis. You know, all his feet's in a bucket of ice. Seen, you know, Jamal Mashburn, Jamal McGlure, they're all in buckets of ice. I'm like, it's game one. I mean, it's like the first week, you know, they're doing that. I think a lot of times fans don't realize the toll that your body sort of takes and what rehab sort of does. I mean, look, my dad's not the athlete, but he's gone through rotator cuff and ACL surgery. Seeing him go through that, it's a bit of a process. Max Unger this spring in a teleconference call said that that was the decision. He didn't feel like going through the rehab and getting back to it. And, you know, injuries knocked him out. And he was a darn good center. And I don't think anybody expected Max Unger to retire. So the thing out of his press conference that stood out to me was he said that in 2016 he went to a bad place doing that. And I've talked to athletes before rehab. You can get depressed. You can get down on yourself. You can, you know, get affected with your family and friends. And I think what was interesting to me was him saying that in the last 2 weeks he was starting to go back there and he had made a promise to himself that he wouldn't. So it doesn't matter how I feel. Did he leave the Colts in a bad place? You know, is he leaving money on the table? In this day and age, man, we know so much now more about mental health. And if somebody's telling you, I'm not mentally healthy, and that doesn't mean because I want to go work out. It might mean how he's effective as a husband or as a father. Dude, respect that. And, you know, at the end of the day, football's a game, and if you're booing them and you're one of these season ticket holders that wants a refund back, my goodness, man, I think you're a little misplaced and misguided.
Gus, incredibly well said. I'm very much looking forward to our Monday chats. Thanks for dropping by, man. Talk soon.
For sure, man. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Ben.
He's the best. Gus Gattingill, ESPN 100.3 out of New Orleans. Here's what we're going to do. I think it'll be a fitting transition from the huge topic of the day, and it'll continue past today, trust me, but from Andrew Luck into LSU football. And we'll discuss the latest with Ed Ogeron and the Tigers on the other side of this break. But the perfect transition, a former Tiger, Darius Geis. Here's what the current Washington Redskin running back had to say about this story.
These fans know what they're getting themselves into when they become fans. You know, they know this is the most physical sport there is. You know, they know injuries happen. You know, so when fans, you know, start downing players because of injuries, I'm like, bro, like, come get your ass out here and get hit constantly and see how it feels and see how your body responds.
That's some of the best sound since Warren Sapp put a jersey on. I'm like, bro, come get your ass out of here and get hit constantly and see how it feels. Perfect segue. Final break of the hour. We'll be back. We'll talk some current LSU football. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Yeah, we'll hit you here, too, on 103.7 The Game.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in, 9 minutes to 5 o'clock. We're ready to talk some LSU football with you. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And whenever you're ready, dial us up. We'll take our first call of the week, 706-0111. And it's a game week Monday edition of B2BS. Fired up about that. You've heard so much commentary on Andrew Luck to this moment, but we'll move it over. LSU football releases its depth chart in the week one game notes, and something that sticks out, part of it was expected, part of it's not. Derek Stingley Jr., Christian Fulton are your first team cornerbacks. That part was expected. Manny Netherly has entered the transfer portal. That part, not necessarily. Netherly's been on this program before, as he was a highly rated speedster and prospect out of Crosby, Texas. Netherly, the latest LSU youngster at that position to test the transfer portal market, following Kelvin Joseph. And so our good friend Shay Dixon, many others chiming in on social media saying, yeah, there are going to be a lot of freshmen who have an opportunity to play at corner this year. And I think that they're right about that. There aren't a lot of other bodies at this point. Kelvin Joseph is vacated. Manny Netherly's in the process of doing so himself. And so who does that leave you? Well, according to Ed Ogeron, Cordell Flott has been really, really impressive. Ogeron said today that Flott has separated himself. And so you've got an opportunity for some of the other guys to step in and grab some time at corner this year. I do think it's going to be more of a season in which you see a third safety as opposed to a third corner. But there will be chances for not A or B to happen, but C, all of the above, when you get your six DB packages in there. So a lot of different options afforded Aranda. But it appears if somebody wants to bite on Netherly in the transfer portal, he will not be one of them. A couple of other notes from the depth chart. Thaddeus Moss, Stephon Sullivan listed as co-starters at tight end, and basically the same for Tyler Shelvin and Apu Ika at nose tackle. I think technically it was Shelvin listed first, but Coach O said today that along his D-line, it's likely to be Shelvin and Ika at nose tackle. If you heard Gordy Rush with us last week, he reminded that you're still seeing an awful lot of Braden Fehoko and Rashard Lawrence slipping inside as well. So my spidey sense tells me that they're not quite ready yet. Dennis Johnson, Konecki Udeze, Ed Ogeron, I mean, even Dave Aranda. My gut tells me that the defensive masterminds at LSU aren't ready to turn the reins over at nose tackle just to Tyler Shelvin and Apu Ika. I think you're going to see some of those big guys step inside, and then you can have Glenn Logan and some of the other talented reserve ends, platoon ends, kind of take their spot. Something else that stood out, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the first running back listed. I think that was expected. Also, your starting kick returner. As far as offensive line competition goes, left guard is going to continue into this opening game week. And I'm okay with that. I think at least part of it has to do with injuries. But Adrian McGee, Chasen Hines, currently listed as kind of an and-or situation at left guard. You want to talk about the entire offensive line? Let me get that to you briefly. Left to right, Sadiq Charles will start at left tackle. As I mentioned, it's McGee or Hines at left guard. I think if Hines gets healthy, it's likely his job. At center, you know it's the preseason All-SEC selection, Lloyd Cushenberry, Damian Lewis, healthy and listed as a starter at right guard, Austin Deculus at right tackle. Your catch-all can basically play four positions O-lineman going into the season, according to Ed Ogeron, his former JUCO transfer and a senior, Badara Traore. A couple of other quick notes from Ed Ogeron. We'll let you hear from LSU's head coach some in our 5 o'clock hour, but I want to get you all the important bullet points in hour number one. Ogeron said of LSU's offense, Clint, I'll get your reaction to this, quote, I told the guys to get in a huddle, but they don't know what that is anymore, end quote. That was not said with laughter. That was not said as a joke. There's no chance that this school, with this running pedigree and this physical brand, forgot how to huddle, right?
That seems like the weirdest thing ever, to be honest with you. Hear the fact that Coach O's saying they haven't gotten in the huddle all throughout camp. I understand that, but it just seems weird that you didn't at least like try and remember what a huddle is in 2019.
All right, you're taking it way too literally. But I will say this. That's akin to the type of mind blow if Matt McCullough said, all right, Acadiana, let's veer. Coach, we're shotgun now. We don't know anything that you're talking about. One other note, speaking of coaches at LSU, Steve Ensminger and Joe Brady will be in the booth. That makes a lot of sense. Bill Bush, in the game notes, was listed as being in the booth as well. They corrected that. Bush, LSU's safety coach, helping out Corey Raymond with the DBs, will indeed be on the sidelines. We'll get into more LSU talk. I want to connect some dots between LSU and Florida, which won its season opener in ugly fashion on Saturday night over the U. So we'll talk more LSU and SEC football at the top of our 5 o'clock hour. But right now, it's time to end this one, this hour, with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Veteran, or depending what part of the state you're from, veteran, LSU's offensive and defensive starters. That depth chart? How about this? 18 of 22 combined starters that were listed either juniors or seniors. That is remarkable. 18 out of 22. That's part of the reason LSU is getting a lot of preseason love. Not only returning starter quarterback, but the starting 22 looking awfully veteran. It's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We got 2 hours to go. Coming right back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crowe Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Rocking in hour number two. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. You better believe it's a game week. Monday edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, back in and live on 103.7 The Game. Great guests coming at you between now and 7 o'clock. Ruffin Rodrigue in about 12 minutes. Get his game week on with us. At straight up 6 o'clock, a straight up G from Kaplan. Tank Lotief, head coach of the Pirates. He'll talk about Kaplan versus Rain this week in a Jamboree ball game and what's coming ahead for a perennial power from Class 3A. And James Buehrs at 6:30, he'll go all in on the Kiwanis Jamboree. But I want to get right back to where we were. LSU football getting ready for Georgia Southern this Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. And I gave you some of my, I guess, quick thoughts on the news of the day. In case you just joined us, Derek Stingley Jr., Christian Fulton, listed as LSU's first-team cornerbacks. Maybe the bigger news is that Manny Netherly entering the transfer portal, following in the footsteps of Kelvin Joseph. And so suddenly there will be opportunities for freshmen and youngsters to play at corner this year. According to Coach Ed Ogeron, Cordell Flott has been incredibly impressive and really has separated himself. So look for him to potentially be maybe the third corner for this LSU football team and Dave Aranda. On the offense, Ogeron said, I told the guys to get in a huddle, but they don't know what that is anymore. All indications are that they're moving fast, that they're going from the spread. They're predominantly shotgun. We'll start to find out on Saturday night. No more preseason guessing on whether or not LSU is finally getting its bleep together offensively. But the indications certainly seem promising. Quickly, a couple of other notes from the depth chart release. Thaddeus Moss, Stephon Sullivan, named co-starters at tight end. Tyler Shelvin Apuaika going to split time at nose tackle, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, starting running back and kick returner. Only one other note that I'll pass along right now, Adrian McGee, Chase and Hines, their competition at left guard will continue to determine the starter through this last week of, I guess, what you would call the preseason. Now, before we get to some of the sound from Coach Ed Orgeron, earlier today at his initial Monday presser for a game week, there's, I guess, a connection that I want to make, or maybe more accurately, I want to break, but a couple of dots that I used to have a nice little neat line from one to the other. I've been making the LSU to Florida comparison for a while on this show, and I think it's been fairly valid, right? I mean, programs that just recruit like the Dickens, Florida, we get that with all the, you know, I mean, fruits that just falls off the tree in the Sunshine State when it comes to prep talent. LSU throwing a blanket around Louisiana and having such inroads to, I mean, Texas and more recently, I mean, D.C., California, everywhere. But they both recruit incredibly well. They both try to stake a claim to DBU. Folks in these parts will lean one way as opposed to the other. And I think both have been lacking in offense for quite some time. Consistent offense. It's been since Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer left Gainesville that they've had that on a consistent basis. It's been since, I don't know, you tell me, maybe a 1.5 year run, you could say, of Zach Mettenberger. Prior to that, was it Matt Flynn in 2007? How long has it been since LSU consistently had that mojo going? I would argue probably 05 to 07. So it's been a while since LSU in Florida, which had just about every other kind of corner of its program battened down. The hatches were battened down pretty well, just trying to make championship runs, except for, you know, the whole offense and quarterback dilemma. Matching up those great defenses, matching with the great talent. Well, I will tell you this. One game in, Florida has not solved some of those issues. And one game does not a season make, but Felipe Franks looked like Felipe Franks. If you watch that game Saturday night in Orlando, I mean, touchdown passes, yes. Interceptions, plural, yes. Fumble, yes. Boneheaded plays, yes. One punt of a football out of the stadium postgame, yes. So again, this cat that LSU quote-unquote missed out on several years back, he is an enigma right now. And if Dan Mullen can't drag it out of him with more than just one season now, more than just one offseason, I don't know that it's going to happen. So what I'm telling you is this. While I've been making this LSU-Florida comparison, I think there's a pretty good chance that starting Saturday night, you see LSU remove itself from this comparison. And you won't be able to connect those two dots. Why? Largely because Joe Burrow isn't on the same playing field as Felipe Franks. I feel very confident in making that statement the final Monday in August. Very confident. I don't know that I would say LSU's staff is matching wits, that it's better than, that it's worse than Dan Mullen and what they're doing, because I think Mullen's earned a lot of respect with what he has done over the years. And don't just think Mississippi State. Prior to that, he was with Urban Meyer, and they were developing Alex Smith over in Utah into a number one overall pick. But what I will say is this. The collective offensive room that is LSU's, including the coaches, including the quarterback, including the synergy between the head coach and the offensive staff, I think right now I would take that room in a heartbeat over Florida's. Yes, Florida won a football game against a fairly formidable non-conference opponent, one that LSU fans were pretty happy to beat up on last year. But I think what we saw was a reminder on Saturday night that Florida maybe isn't ready to pull itself out of some of those offensive woes, while LSU, knock on wood, has a chance to do so, and it all starts on Saturday night. All right, let's get to the latest from Coach O. This is from earlier today while we're speaking on the offense. He gave a little bit of sound here on running back by committee. Even though Clyde Edwards-Helaire was listed as the starter, they're not going to be a one-man show.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is our starter. Lenard Finesse is going to go in there. Chris Curry is going to play. And so are the young guys. So it'll be running back by committee. But as you know, when you're playing this schedule, you're going to need all those guys. We tell them all to stay healthy and all to stay positive.
Most talented back on the roster, in my opinion, is John Emery. The one you can rely on the most right now to do the most things, the most well-rounded, is absolutely Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But that soundbite was a good reminder. The most forgotten about is Baby Beast Mode, Chris Curry. I wouldn't sleep on him too much. And speaking of John Emery, I mentioned I think he's the most talented on the roster. Here's Coach O and the freshman out of Destrehan.
First of all, John Emery is everything and more that we thought about in recruiting. He and Ty were the two best backs in the country, in our opinion. They're different. He can make you miss. He has tremendous feet. He has tremendous vision. He needs to get a little bit stronger in the weight room, get more comfortable in the offense. There were a lot of times in practice where he broke outside, we didn't catch him. So he had some explosive runs, very explosive runs.
Let's catch one more. Coach O on the O, and here he goes on the tempos. So perhaps this has to do with the whole, hey, coach, what's a huddle again thing?
I believe we have several different tempos. We are strictly spread. That's the first time LSU has been strictly spread. We have the talent to be spread offense. We can go five receivers at any time, four receivers. We're mainly going to be out of 11 personnel, one tight end, three receivers, one back. And Coach Ensminger has a tremendous plan. Offensive line has to improve. We're going to be in five-man protection a lot, get a lot of people out, throwing our backs the ball out the backfield, and still run the ball. I do believe we're going to be great because of our quarterback. Our quarterback can handle most situations. I think he's a game changer.
Clint, you're now fluent in 11 personnel. You hit me with that in the middle of a show last week, just out of nowhere.
I got to throw some things at you from time to time now that we're in football mode. Now that I've kind of got the jargon down pat after 5 years being with the station.
That was like a crackback block on me. I just didn't even remotely see that coming. Let's get one from the defensive side for Coach Ed Orgeron. Nose tackle, I just told you. Shelvin, Ika, but is that it?
He and I pull, listen, right there. He and I pull both starters for me, and the guy that's coming along is Joe Evans. Joe Evans has proved that he can play for LSU. He's ready to play as a freshman. He can play at nose tackle. He can play at end. We're very pleased with his play so far.
How about that? Didn't see that coming. Let's get one more. And if I heard the presser earlier correctly, and I like to think I did, this is about a lack of off-season arrest. And, yeah, it's happening all over the country. It happened in Georgia just over the weekend with a promising freshman. So here is Ed Orgeron on a changed culture.
I do believe the culture has changed. No, it's not all the way where we want it. In recruiting, we recruit character. We tell our team that character counts. Do the right thing. Protect the team. And so far it's been really good.
Is that pre-shade at Les Miles? I don't think so. He just wants to put his own stamp on things. But we do have a lot of shade coming at you half past the hour. Between now and then, on the other side of this break, our weekly chat with Ruff and Rodrigue. And it's a game week edition of our chat. You don't want to miss it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports. But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in with more of the good stuff. I don't want to waste any time. Let's bring him aboard. It's time for Ruff and Rodrigue, owner of Rufino's on the River. My man, it is game week. How fired up are you?
Pretty fired up, man. I was looking at some of the matchups this weekend, and you know, I don't know why that 11 o'clock start in New Orleans just gets me going, especially with a 20.5 point underdog. You know, I smell an upset on the horizon.
I'm telling you, they just had a little turmoil at quarterback, right? The kid from New Orleans entering the transfer portal. Football program's got a little probation coming their way. I feel really good about the plus 20.5. I don't know about the W yet, but it could be weird in New Orleans.
Yeah, you know, and I'm a homer, so I take risks on picking the home team underdog. But you know, they're not giving this coaching staff a whole lot of credit with that with that line. And you're right. You know, Mississippi State lost a lot of players on defense. And, you know, they had a controversy. What happens if this guy goes down? Who do they have? So, you know, there's a lot of ifs, but I like the 11 o'clock start. Cajuns will be ready, you know, fired up, just to punch them in the mouth. And, you know, it's an SEC school, so they're going to have a lot of depth. Big thing is get them into the fourth quarter close to where you have a chance for to pull the upset. And, I just have a good feeling. And one thing about Coach Napier and his staff is they take care of all the intangibles, special teams. They work on all the little things. And, you know, that's what makes a coaching staff really special is the turnover ratio, the special teams, all the little things. You know, third down conversion, and that's what they work on. And I think that's where they're going to surprise a lot of people, especially with a first opponent being an SEC school.
Ruffin, give me some fan advice. I don't have to cover the game in New Orleans. I'm getting to go as a fan, and I'm pumped about it. I'll be at the first tailgate I was invited to, I believe, at 9 a.m. So how does one get to New Orleans at 9 a.m., go to a dome game at 11, and then make it up to watch the LSU game later that night in the quarter? How can I do that?
Man, I tell you, you know, it's going to be boom, boom, boom. It's going to be I hope it doesn't go into overtime. You know, you'll be able to do it. But 6:30 start, you know, 11 o'clock, the game should be over around 2 o'clock. Give you time, you know, to prepare 4 hours for LSU, which I think is a better than people think. Georgia's Southern team is going to come in and you know, looking for something to prove, and hopefully the Tigers aren't looking, you know, ahead to Texas.
Talking UL and LSU football with Ruffin Rodrigue on 103.7 The Game. Give me the number one or two things when fans watch this LSU offense that they've just been hearing about to this point, the one or two things they're going to be most surprised about.
With the U.S. Who's that?
For the LSU offense, when fans see it for the first time.
Yeah. I tell you, Ben, you know, I've done a couple practices, and, you know, the one thing you're going to see is everybody's talking about the quick pass and this and that, but you know, what I'm really looking forward to is the tight ends and all the hype I'm hearing about Randy Moss's son, Thaddeus Moss. Because he's going to play a lot, because he's the best blocking tight end we have. And he's a tough kid. And, no, he's not. Look, he's not his dad. He's not one of the greatest receivers of all time. But he's tough, man. He's a grinder. So I'm looking forward to the tight ends having a big role in this offense, along with the running backs. You know, people keep talking about receivers, and yes, that, you know, the top three receivers we have are phenomenal. But look for Brady and Esmer to really involve the tight ends and running backs early. That's what I think you'll see.
Before we continue on the first official week of college football, give us the latest from Rufino's on the River, and I know you've got a big football season planned there.
Yeah, I was there this weekend. I missed on Friday, but Saturday it was just hopping. You know, it's become such an event spot at Rufino's. With, you know, if there's an event in town, a concert, a black tie ball like there was Saturday night, you know, before and after kind of deal. Because we stay open till 11. You know, stop seating at 11. So we're pretty much a later open restaurant. So a lot of people enjoy that coming by after events. So, you know, it's before and after. You know, it's always the place because it's always hopping. You got the beautiful view of the river and just a cool spot in Lafayette.
Coach O said today, we are strictly spread. I know this is what you and I have been talking about now, but I got to tell you, it's still weird to hear that there's almost a 180 philosophically.
We're spread? Wait, what did he say?
We are strictly spread.
Yeah. And that's what he said. He said huddle, and they forgot how to huddle. So you're going to see a lot of no huddle, and they're going to open it up, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thing is to watch the defense, you know, Ben, and how they respond, because you know a lot of teams. You saw what happened to a really good offensive defense coordinator like John Chavis, but when he went to A&M and they did that nothing but spread offense. it was hard for him to bring his defense into that because it's hard to practice against that. So that's the only thing that I'm questioning is, you know, we need to make sure this defense is continue to be tough. I know Aranda's a magician and his adjustments are just legendary so far at LSU, but you know, the defensive line play and all that is really what I'm looking forward to seeing.
And before we run out of time, let me get your reaction to Florida over Miami and the way it happened on Saturday night.
Yeah, big ratings, man. I thought it was a brilliant move by college football. This is a sloppy game. You know, Florida's defense is real. Their defensive line is always. It's one of the Florida Gators, man. You're going to go in there. I don't know if I ever remember a University of Florida team without a great defensive line. I mean, they just restock with these unbelievably strong, fast players, and that's what I saw. That's what won the game. You know, to have three or four turnovers and over 100 yards of penalties and still win, that tells you something about your defense.
You know, I made a comparison at the beginning of this show. I think LSU and Florida have been a lot alike as programs over the last, say, 6 or 7 seasons. Elite defenses, great recruiting, but offense has been missing. I think this is the year that LSU takes a step ahead of Florida in that department. You agree?
I do. I think I grew up on, especially, you know, just the thing has been depth is so huge. You know, people ask why Nick Saban is so successful. Man, he is just, he's brilliant at evaluating talent and not losing a lot of players. And that's where Coach Miles, I think, at the end of his career at LSU, he started losing a lot of players because of just bad recruiting or just tough recruiting. But I think Coach O is really evaluated all his players in his recruiting classes, so they have that depth. And, man, that's what you need in college football to win the big games in the fourth quarter. That's where Nick has won all his championships because of that.
You are not wrong. Ruffin, it's always fun to do this on Mondays. Looking forward to the opening game weekend for LSU and UL. Come next week, we'll have something to discuss, won't we?
Oh, I can't wait, man. I'm excited. Go Cajuns, man. Go Tigers. Let's bring home 2 victories. That would be wonderful.
There you go. Have a great night.
Okay, man. Thank you.
Ruffin Rodrigue, owner of Rufino's on the River. Yes, we'll be out there this Friday. And yes, that'll be the final Friday, but we'll have some other things to announce that should be taking place beginning in September. But obviously with high school football season, it's going to be hard for me to teleport from Rufino's on the River to Karen Crow. Could you imagine doing a show, Clint, until like 6:15 and then saying you need to be at Karen Crow for a 6:30 pregame show?
Yeah, that would be very much impossible, Ben.
And then, of course, they might be playing, I don't know, somewhere else. You mean, yeah. I think they're in New Iberia a couple times this year, maybe somewhere in Lake Chuck once over. I know they're at St. Martinville. So, yeah, we're going to have to find a different arrangement. And so this will be our final Friday run at Rufino's on the River. So come out and check us out if you get a chance this Friday from 4 until 6 p.m. All right, here's our game plan. Wide open phone lines between now and 6 o'clock, and then Tank Lotief, speaking of high school football, the Kaplan Pirates head coach, will join us at 6. Between now and then, we'll get some of your answers to our sink or swim question of the day. Is Andrew Luck the most shocking early sports retirement ever? Social media has been buzzing on this. We'll read some of those responses and let you call us as well at 706-0111. Plus, we've got some Shade, Desmond Howard, and our old punching bag, Urban Meyer. Come on down, baby. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
The possum is not a pet, and at least one pet peeve was violated. That's probably fair to say for a week 0 edition of College Game Day, of all places, from Orlando, Disney World, and the happiest place on earth. I will explain, and then I'll get to something that happened in that same vicinity later Saturday evening. But first, your daily reminder, It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home and to beautify life outside your home. Alex will be the one to put up your shades and awnings while Todd takes care of the installation of your patio covers and those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the pros at Patio Center are ready to up your patio game. And all it takes to start, a trip to the website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
How about a twofer today involving a Michigan man and recently head football coach at the Ohio State University? We'll start with Desmond Howard, who by and large I like as an analyst for the mothership. Does a good job, I think, injecting some needed personality into College game day as well. And he gave not a good, but a great reference and nod to the Chappelle Show over the weekend, doing his week zero College game day appearance prior to Florida and Miami. He was asked whether or not his Michigan Wolverines could finally dethrone Ohio State in the Big Ten. And I will paraphrase what he said to the best of my ability, or maybe just throw a bleep in there, CD. That's the way I'll handle this. He looked at the camera and said, is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a bleep? That's amazing, and that's hilarious. The fact that he's catching guff about this, Clint, is another thing altogether. So it's 2019. Don't hurt anybody's feelings. You can't say that word on television, apparently, even though I've said it on radio. I know I have. It's amazing to me. And even Wayne Brady reached out on social media and told Desmond Howard, thanks for the shout-out. Don't let him get you down. I appreciate you being a fan of mine. I'm a fan of yours. Is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a you-know-what?
That was possibly the highlight of College game day week zero and then everything else that happened afterwards. And then I think Sunday morning I saw the Wayne Brady response. Simply amazing. That Wayne Brady, of all people, is like, you know what, dude? I'm having fun with this. Why not?
That skit with Dave Chappelle and Wayne Brady, tremendous. And
it's top five.
It's utterly fantastic. All right, quickly, I'll get to my part due, and then we'll take a call. I don't know how I feel about this. I imagine that Ohio State fans are livid about it, and Florida fans are like, wait a minute, I thought mom and dad got divorced. Why are they still sleeping together, basically? Urban Meyer and Steve Spurrier were in Florida Gators apparel in the press box in the suites in Orlando for the Florida versus Miami game. Hey, I get it completely for Spurrier. He's now an ambassador to the school. He's not coaching somebody else. As for Herbs, I don't need a reason to bash on him, but I'll take one. He's not coaching Ohio State, but he still draws a paycheck from Ohio State as a professor. And yeah, the dude's literally teaching an ethics course, which again, I'm not going down that path. It's just too easy. I don't know how I'd feel about that if I'm Ohio State. And as I mentioned, I don't know how I feel about that if I'm a Florida fan. Urban Meyer wearing a Florida polo at a Florida game. He was coaching at Ohio State like 48 seconds ago. I just think it deserves a little shade on a Monday, CD.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
All right, enough of the shade. Let's take your calls. Getting out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ken, thank you for waiting. You know that was funny stuff on College game day.
Well, it certainly was funny thing. I think he slipped and he just couldn't catch himself in time. I don't think he just, you know, planned that. But nevertheless, you're on national TV, everybody watching it and listening out. You know, I don't think you should be. I'm sure he got scorned. And, you know, he apologized later on, but, you know, he got to watch his tongue. But, you know, I think Michelle Beadle got fired, too, from ESPN, if not correct, for saying something she said. I don't know what she said, but I think she got fired last week, I believe it was.
I don't yet know why myself, but I do believe you're correct. I've read some clippings on that.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, the college season. I already said I take LSU 11-1. 12-0, ULL, I don't know. You know, they're playing Mississippi State. That's going to be a tough one. But hopefully they can, you know, win the rest of the games in their conference and hopefully challenge Appalachian State. I don't know. But I hope that they can do that. As far as LSU, I mean, they should handle Georgia Southern pretty good. We'll see. I mean, that Florida-Miami game was a disaster, in my opinion. It was sloppy, turnovers. I mean, how do you win a football game and you turn the ball four times? Oh, that's how bad Miami is. Miami offensive line is wretched. I mean, horrific. I mean, I don't know how many games Miami's going to win.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, look, I appreciate the call. Ken, I expect to hear from you Friday, by the way. We'll be back to our over-unders with LSU. Ken's always a regular there. I like that from him. And, yes, it says more about Miami that Florida could turn it over four times and still win that game. But I'll say this. I agree with Ruff and Rodrigue. Florida's defensive line, per the Uge, really, really good. Florida's secondary, one game in, they may be getting a little too much hype. They were grabbing onto receivers for dear life, especially in the second half of that ball game. All right, we talked a lot about Andrew Luck, opened up the sink or swim question of the day in our 4 o'clock hour. Is Luck the most surprising and shocking early sports retirement ever? We've been getting really good response on social media. I think we're getting some now. Aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, Thomas, thank you for the call. What you got for us?
I just wanted to say, man, I don't know if it was surprising. It was surprising to the fans, obviously. I think that's why the booing happened. I think when you drop that dime on the fans who've been looking forward to you all year during the third preseason, you know, yeah, you're going to get a reaction like that, man. I mean, that's just kind of the visceral, kind of pissed off kind of thing. I think looking back on it later, they probably won't be as mad as they are now. If he'd have done that in the spring, I think he would have went out and nobody would have said a thing. You know what I mean? You can't drop a dime like that this late in the season and not expect to have some people a little PO'd, brother.
The timing, and you look, it's a great point you make. Thank you, Thomas. The timing of it, he says wretched. I agree. Here's the thing. I don't know how long he's known this. And again, you may say that, well, I don't care if I'm a fan. He used a really good word there, too, visceral, because that's what it is, right? I mean, you're there in the moment. You're getting geared up for the season in the midst of a game that's literally the only purpose it serves. I mean, preseason is literally about getting geared up for the season. You don't care if you win the preseason game. So he's right. It was a visceral reaction. But I don't think he had this knowledge. I don't think he had this clarity. That's the word he used. So I'll bring it to the fray here. I don't think he knew until about a week ago. He didn't start thinking about it, he mentioned, until about 10 to 14 days ago. I just don't think he knew he was about to enter one of those, you know, seven circles of hell type of moments that he went through in 2016 until he started going through it within the last couple of weeks. Again, not the team doc. I'm not his personal physician. I don't know. But Thomas said with the timing and with the place that it was announced, that maybe there was no other way that could have gone down. I don't know. It's a really bad look for Indy, but I need to understand a little bit of the human side of that fan base. Maybe. But, God, it's hard. It was just a bad, bad look. All right, we'll give some of the social media response, and we'll take more of your calls on Andrew Luck in our final segment of the 5 o'clock hour. I want to get to a little Cajuns Mississippi State talk as well. So don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. And 1037thegame.com.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 1037 The Game.
We left off on Andrew Luck. Let's pick it right back up. And we got to show our appreciation. Our man Kevin waited throughout the break. Let's find him aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Kevin, thanks so much for hanging around. What's your take on this subject?
Well, I'm not old enough to remember Jim Brown, but I do remember the Barry Sanders and the Calvin Johnson retirements. And to me, Barry Sanders was very close to surpassing Walter Payton's all-time record. To me, being that close to breaking that record was more surprising than Luck going down. I don't remember Barry Sanders having multiple injuries as Luck has, and that's my thought on it.
I agree with you completely. I rank it as Michael Jordan, retirement number one in 1995, and Barry Sanders, maybe 1-1A. I think they're both more shocking than Luck. We appreciate it. I like where Kevin's coming from. With Sanders, at least publicly from what he always said, it didn't seem to be about the injuries. I think it was always perceived to be about the lack of competency of the team outside of him and just trying to carry a team that was never really angling toward a championship. With Calvin Johnson, there was just straight up more bad blood. And I think that's just now starting to dissipate a little, if you will, right? Starting to thaw a little bit. Why don't I give some of our social media reaction, and we'll take more of your phone calls. That was a good one from Kevin. We got time for more. 706-0111. He's answering the sink or swim question of the day. Is Andrew Luck the most shocking early sports retirement ever? Chris W. on Facebook, no. Todd G., no. Michael Jordan. Greg S., Barry Sanders. Stephen M., hashtag sink. Dusty M., no. I honestly didn't think he'd come back to begin with. Well, then, brother, we should have gone to Vegas. If you really knew that Saturday night was coming, that's one thing. But to say that, well, you didn't think it was going to happen at all, well, you knew more than me. And, Clint, we have Chuck W. with no Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Okay. So we instituted a rule a while back that we'd stop diming on people that are obviously at work, listening to the show, and then responding on social media.
Yes.
This might be the only time that we could give a full name and not worry about getting this person fired. Why? Because he can fire us. It's a completely different animal.
Exactly.
So, Chuck W., salute. He says, no, it's Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
I agree. And so does Kevin, who just called in. Barry Sanders was absolutely more shocking. And, again, I didn't rattle off my full list of names, but now I will. Andrew Luck retired at 29 on Saturday. Gronk, this past offseason, also out at 29. But it feels different, doesn't it? I mean, Gronk obviously has been, you know, battered and bruised as well. Ankles, knees, backs, the whole thing. Gronk has also won, and again, I'm just going off the cuff here. I'm going to assume that Gronk has won 3 Super Bowls. May get Clint to look that up. How many of Brady's 6 rings have also gone to Gronk? I'm going to just do the, you know, weigh the bowling ball test and say about 3. I'm going to say half. And so Gronk isn't grinding it out to win more championships. He's also going to chase something else outside of football, which I think Luck obviously will be too at some point. Rumblings out there that the architect major has an affinity for what he wanted to be his line of work after football. Calvin Johnson got out at 31. Barry Sanders, to our caller Kevin's point, out at 31. Jim Brown, out at the age of 30 in 1966. But those were some pretty darn good Browns teams, right? So maybe a little bit akin to Gronk. He had been winning, and winning a lot. Was the best to ever do it at his position, I would say all time. Not just at his position, but, I mean, to that point at 66, I think he was probably the best football player ever. Some would contend that maybe along with Jerry Rice and a few others, Lawrence Taylor, that he still is. But Jim Brown, there was life after football for him, right? The silver screen, an activist, all kind of things. I mentioned Michael Jordan, early retirement in 1995. And I also threw out Sandy Koufax. Again, I wasn't around for that. But he had just won a 3rd Cy Young. He led the Dodgers to an NL pennant, and he was out at the age of 30. Some of these definitely, in my opinion, rank ahead of Luck. I think the context of how Luck did it was maybe the most intriguing and shocking part of it. And Thomas said, as a fan in the stadium for that preseason game, he understands a bit of the visceral reaction. CD, here's what we're going to do. Let's get some cuts from Billy Napier. I had this segment earmarked for some of that. We'll have Tank Lotief talking Kaplan Pirates football at straight up 6 o'clock, and we'll get back into the Cajuns at 6:15. But Napier met with the media. He's excited to open up, and specifically with an SEC opponent.
Well, we're excited about opening the season with a formidable opponent in SEC West, Mississippi State Bulldogs, man. Very talented team, big, fast, athletic team. We certainly had a chance to compete against these guys last year. We've got tons of respect for Coach Moorhead, Bob Shoup, and Joey Jones as not only coordinators but play callers. I think they've done a great job, and they've got tremendous experience and a history of being successful.
Let's get more from Napier before we hit our end of the hour break here. He talks about a man that, I think it was late Thursday, named the starting quarterback at Mississippi State, Tommy Stevens.
He's got a history with the head coach and offensive coordinator. So, you know, Coach Moorhead has got an extensive history, an identity as a play caller, what they want to do on offense. I think that this quarterback in particular is a guy who has a great arm talent. You know, he's an accurate passer. Many of the people that were at the Manning camp this past summer felt like he was one of the better kids there. And he's a good athlete. You know, they used him in lots of unique ways when he was at Penn State. So no surprise that he won a very competitive, spirited battle for that position. And I think it'll be a smooth transition because of his history with that system in the past.
There's Napier on the new head of the snake for Mississippi State's offense. Here's Billy Napier on State's defense.
Overall on defense, they'll be very, very talented. The linebacker core in particular is big, fast, athletic, played quite a bit last year. So a lot of the players that they're going to end up being starters and playing a lot for them this year have significant time. You know, they rotated a number of players. They were deep. This is a group of defensive players that was number one in the country in scoring defense and total defense last year. And Coach Shoup, you know, is a very intelligent play caller, coordinator, very well thought out plan that he has, and he presents a number of issues to you.
There you have it. So we've talked some Saints, some LSU, some Cajuns. We'll get to a high school heavy hour and get used to that. Mondays at 6 o'clock. We'll have Tank Lotte for the Kaplan Pirates at 6 and James Buers at 6:30. We're getting into our football groove. You call it a routine. I call it a groove. I just know I'm damn excited that it's here, and hopefully you are as well. So two-thirds of the way home on this Monday, August the 26th, we'll continue a game week edition of the good stuff on the other side of this break. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll bounce right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Firing off the line into hour number three. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. We've been all over the football map just about. Now we got to talk some high school football coming down the stretch, and none finer than our guest currently aboard the ARCO Equipment Hotline, head coach of the Kaplan Pirates, Tank Lotief. Coach, we're almost to the season, baby. How are you?
I'm all good, man. I'm on speakerphone because I'm driving the back roads of Vermilion Parish right now, so can you bear with me?
I feel good about the connection now that you've said that, and you're sounding good. Look, we got to have some fun to start. I wanted to have you on right before the quick slant 7-on-7, but you told me you had to go teach your guys how to pass real quick, so you couldn't do it then. I think I jinxed it, Clint. I jinxed the reception in Vermilion Parish. Let's see if we can't get Coach teed up. We'll see if we can get him back a little better. Man, he was sounding clear as a bell right when we started. So, yeah, we'll get him back aboard. I do want to talk the opening Jamboree game for Kaplan. I know they're going to take on Rain later this week, and then after that they dive into their regular season. All right, Coach, I believe we got you back now. Again, the quick slant 7-on-7 wasn't the right time because, well, Kaplan had to get into passing mode.
Yeah, that was not good at all. No, we're not used to the forward pass there. Not good at all.
Tell me about what you got planned for this coming week. I know that it's a jamboree game against Rain. They're dipping down from 4A to 3A. So what do you expect and what do you want to get out of it?
No, you know, this is not a qualified scrimmage. That's how I take it. Dress rehearsal. Still trying to plug in some guys here and there and try, figure out who can play and how much depth problems we're going to have, how much substitutions we're going to have. Kicking game, always fun to go live kicking. Dress rehearsal.
You had an awfully talented Coach, you had a really talented, I know, defensive lineman, wing back kicker. He did everything for you last year. He's with the Raging Cajuns now. So tell us about the mark he left on your program and how you try to replace him.
Well, we talk team all the time. And, yes, he was a good player for us. And I think he'll be the first one a good teammate around him that made him better as well.
Talking now with Tank Lotief. Kaplan Pirates football begins this Friday in the Jamboree against Rain and then a regular season with another tough schedule. Tell me how you came up with it.
Well, we try to find teams close by, but some people, with the PowerPoints and the way that they work, they don't want to play you, and I can understand that. And there's some teams out we don't want to play either because the PowerPoints only award you for victories. They don't award you for a close loss or defeats to a good team. So I can understand that. Put it out there. You want to play you. You don't want to play all good. We'll look around somewhere else.
Well, there's a lot of talent on the schedule. You open up against Franklin, and then it's North Vermilion, Church Point, and VC. So, I mean, different types of teams, but I'll get you to take me through. And then, of course, Notre Dame. Take me through your non-district schedule.
I was a quarterfinalist last year. Yeah, that's a good size. North Vermilion, hell, our next-door neighbors, they're moving up to 4A, so we're going to catch them preseason instead of during district. D.C., they only want to play you when they're good, so they must be good this year. That's what I'll tell you about them. Church Point, hell, it's back and forth all the time. Those guys are, small-town football. Good guys over there, so we're going to play them and see what we got to do. Notre Dame Pioneers on the schedule. Nobody wants to play them. They call good old cousin Lotief and come kick an ass with them. So that's what we do. We go there and play the best we can. And it's our district.
Yeah, then you got district Erath, St. Martinville, Crowley, Abbeville, and Lake Arthur. So it's changed a little bit from a year ago, right?
Right, Lake Arthur, that's a non-district game. The good old LHSA make sure to give you a 5-team district so you have an open week somewhere between 6 through 10, and we drew 10 this year. And Lake Arthur in another district, they drew week 10 out of district play, so we got the matchup. But, St. Martinville coming down from 4A, Crowley, good athleticism, well-coached football team. It's a lot tougher district. Abbeville, Erath, all both improved. Always want to beat Kaplan, so there you go. There you have it.
Got another few moments with Coach Tank Lotief on 103.7 The Game, talking Kaplan Pirates football. Some of your returning players that you expect the most leadership from this season, Coach?
Yeah, well, we always going to start with our offensive line. We've got some good players coming back. Gabriel Campbell, I always talk about him being a great player. Nobody looking at him, not a college. A good high school football player, great high school football player. Nice kid, good guy to be around, rip your head off and help you up after that. Kind of guys I like. Andre Gaspard, returning a tight end. Willis, big Gabe Willis at guard there. Willis Gaspard, a guard. Big old boy, 600-pound squatter. So we got a pretty good offensive line. Kevin Desimo, still in there at center. I saw that offensive line. Got some good back coming back. Drake Lejeune going to handle the ball. Played some linebacker for us last year. Ren Renfro, Nathan Sistruck. Could probably be a two-way player, free safety and fullback. We got some players, hopefully. We're just looking for a little bit of help from the younger kids.
I've had the pleasure of seeing your home crowd in action only the once, Coach. I'm typically calling Karen Crow games during the regular season, but a couple of years back in a state semifinal game, the place was actually rocking. I mean, it was just on fire. So tell our listeners a little bit about what you guys get away from those fans in that stadium.
Well, you know, if we doing well, those fans, they loud and they're proud and they get behind us and they support us. They some good, they cheer for us, good, bad, ugly. You know, they can't ask anything better than that. Band that supports us, cheerlead squad, the whole school gets behind us, as well as the community. And we think we really got a home field advantage when we play at Kaplan.
Coach, before we go, I know it's been a productive offseason, but I guess how do you handle it, and do you find it's any different than when you came into it with some of the restrictions of when you can practice, how much you can practice? What's it like now versus then?
Well, you know, it's always been. You've always had restrictions. I guess some people just didn't follow the rules as much, but, yeah, you always had restrictions. It hadn't changed much since I've been around. The thing is, I think the thing is that the dedication of the kids is the thing. You know, the early summer, everybody's on vacation. You know, getting there during the summer is a big thing. But, and you know, you just get after it. I mean, that's all you can do. You know, play with the hand you're dealt and get after it. So, you know, it hasn't changed much except the, I guess, like I said, the vacation time the kids take or you know, the toughness of them. I always talk about toughness. And the togetherness of them also, that'll be a little tough to play football. You can't play with a, you know, if you're going to, every time you don't feel good, you can't play. And, you know, that's sort of, we try to teach a little bit of toughness and care about the man next to you. That's what I can tell you about that. That's about it.
Tank Lotief and his Kaplan Pirates taking on Kane Guidry and the Rain Wolves. This, Coach, set me straight here. It's Friday, and where is the ball game?
Friday is going to be at Abbeville. You got Kaplan versus Rain. Then the next game will be Abbeville and I think Church Point. I think, you know, that's a shame. I don't even know what's going on. I'm just so focused on what we're doing. I couldn't even tell you. I can't. I think it's Abbeville's definitely playing at home, and I think they're playing Church Point.
Well, the best of luck to the Pirates this season. I look forward to catching up again soon, Coach. Thank you for doing this.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
He's Tank Lotief, head football coach of the Kaplan Pirates. Clint, this is not an exaggeration. When I do interviews with local high school football coaches, I typically get texted or messaged during the show. Without fail, the most messages come when I'm interviewing Coach Lotief on this program. Three text messages from three different people. During the course of that interview, he is just completely genuine. I mean, completely and utterly, I'll use a word that I got in one of the texts, unfiltered, and I love it. I mean, it's awesome. Nobody will put us on the schedule. Notre Dame will put us on the schedule, so they call Cousin Lotief. We go down there. We take an ass-whooping real quick.
That was the best.
Wow. Guy's awesome, dude. I mean, just a local legend, and I'll tell you this right now. Those Kaplan teams, I've been saying this, it feels like they're a magnet to the state semifinal. What do they have to do to get over that hump? Time will tell. But I think it was Richland. I want to say it was Richland, that game 2 years ago that Dave Schultz and I called from Kaplan to the state semis. Dave and I were back on the call of Kaplan at Eunice state semis this past year. So, I mean, they just are some kind of good and physical. That game in Eunice was a slop fest, though, man. You're too young to remember the movie The Best of Times with Robin Williams.
Yeah, that one's a little bit too...
Go ahead and get that in your life and just trust me on it. But the remake or the game part due in The Best of Times, that's what it felt like the Kaplan-Eunice game was in Eunice a year ago. So just one of the realest dudes on the block, and I'm glad we had him on the program. That was Tank Lotief. We'll continue the high school football conversation. James Buers of the Acadiana Advocate. We'll see if he can live up to that interview right there. James will be with us at 6:30. But on the other side of this break, let's talk some Raging Cajuns football. You're dialed in to a game week edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. the famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
I've got a new idea for analysis. Maybe if you weren't so darn busy all football season long and every Friday, maybe I could just get Tank to come on and we could talk about sports just for a little while. People in Kaplan, let's make this thing happen. Everybody, call in when you want. We can talk about anything under the sun. When it comes to sports, we've been all in on Andrew Luck today, LSU, the Saints, high school football, but I had a little Cajuns planned here. So if that's your flavor, give us a ring. 706-0111. We heard a lot from Billy Napier at the end of hour two. I had one more in mind from him. We ran out of real estate. So we'll do that, and then I'll let you hear from a former Catholic and New Iberia Panther in Zion Hill. But Napier was asked, and it's a good question earlier today, what's the biggest concern heading into this season?
Well, it's the youth that we have. You know, there's going to be a number of players that don't have significant experience that are going to play. You know, and as much as we like to say, okay, hey, I've watched the guy be consistent, you know, in terms of training camp and where he's at, you don't know until those lights come on. You know, and I think that that's where we've got to have great preparation.
Clinton, I know that you were at this presser earlier today. Before we launch into some of the players' sound, I guess your overall takeaways. I mean, Napier's a guy who stays fairly even keel, but certainly what I'm hearing projects some confidence.
Exactly, and that's what you want to hear heading into the season. You don't want to have him just come in and be very much, let's just put it this way, he's definitely a Nick Saban disciple. So it was great to kind of see him have a bit of more of a kicking his step. Maybe it's the fact, a lot like us, we're excited because it's finally game week. We actually finally get to see some football that actually matters. So maybe he's glad that he's actually able to play against another team, a lot like what we've been hearing all training camp long with NFL teams, especially the Saints.
We'll take some now from his players, one on the offensive side, and one on defense. Defense first. We'll go with Zion Hill, a second-year defensive lineman. Again, I mentioned a Panther from Catholic New Iberia. And right off the top, he was asked if last year's Mississippi State game just left this team feeling some kind of way.
I wouldn't say really a sour taste in our mouth, but I would say just a chip on our shoulder. Because, I mean, we could play with anyone. I feel like we can play with anyone. We're capable of playing with anyone in the nation. We have the talent to do so, and we're just ready for Saturday.
A lot of injuries kind of derail what could have been an incredibly promising first season for Zion Hill, and he tells you here, beginning on Saturday, he's coming with all he's got.
At practice, I come with a lot of energy because, I mean, I know my defense missed me, and I miss them, so, I mean, I try to balance out the equation and bring the energy, so, like, Saturday, I'm coming with everything I have.
No doubt about that, right? And so when you talk about returning from injury, there's Zion Hill, there's Joe Dillon, guys that are pretty core important members of this front seven for Ron Roberts. And Zion Hill wraps up his thoughts from today's press conference on the Cajuns' defensive line.
We're doing pretty good. We're doing great. But we have a long way to go, all of us as a whole. We have a long way to go. And we're making progress each day, but that's what practice for. You make progress each day and just get better.
So from the defensive side, we'll take you to starting quarterback Levi Lewis. And so much going into this year's offense, right? So much optimism building off last year. We hear a lot that a quarterback grows the most between his first and second year as a starter. That kind of describes Levi Lewis. But one thing I'll remind you of is that this is year one to year two of the system, right? And the offensive system and blueprints that Billy Napier and Rob Sale have put into motion. And so we'll start with the balance of offensive run versus pass, and here's Lewis's take on it.
Oh, it's very important. Just because if they pause the box, we got to be able to pass the ball. And even if they spread, they respecting the passing game, we got to be able to run the ball. So even the play action, everything, it goes into action. So we all got to have a good balance in the run game and passing game.
Lewis continued, and I'm interested to hear this clip, probably like you are. This game, according to Levi Lewis, like a second life for me.
It's like a second life because, you know, I was going to talk about me losing in the championship game. So it's like a second life, you know, like being given another chance to play in that game. Play in the dome, you know, it's a good feeling, but it's a way different experience, you know, from high school to college. Just the atmosphere, like high school, you know, your fans, you know, they love you, but college is it's people, fans you don't even know, you know, that's going to be at the game. So you got to represent, you know, at the end of the day, you got to represent and play hard.
Completely slipped my mind, CD. He's talking about the state title game with Scotlandville. And so I know that was a storyline that he got to later in the interview, but that's why this game's a second life back at the Dome.
And that was something that kind of slipped my mind as well. Like right when he brought up, I was like, wait a minute, he was in the state title game? Because it's something like this was from a few years ago, because you kind of forget what he did back in high school with Scotlandville, which has definitely done quite well on the basketball court. It's not as much on the football field, you don't think about it.
They don't lose basketball state title games.
They never do.
That does not happen at Scotlandville. But we'll go a little bit deeper here. Lewis, what he remembers from that occurrence and what was an L in the Dome.
They probably had a good scheme, had us bottled up, you know, and I say just as a whole general thing, and halftime came, we should have came together and realized, you know, like some guys are not going to play no more. Some guys are going to remember this day, you know, and I feel like we didn't do that, you know, and it should have been more leadership in that room, just talking together, coming together as a whole and making some adjustments to win that game.
All right, we'll take it back to modern times, and Lewis leading this team full of raging Cajuns. One thing he does have at his disposal, the best running back room in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, they kind of like my lifesaver. You know, the defense, they're not thinking about them, so they kind of the lifesaver. You know, it's like I say something special that nobody's not thinking about. Defensive coordinator's not thinking about, so.
We'll take one more from Levi Lewis, and we can take your calls as well. If you're getting excited about Cajuns versus Bulldogs from the Superdome this weekend here, and this might be the most important thing in terms of his health, his psyche, and everything, Levi Lewis feeling good heading into the ballgame.
Well, mine is ready to go. You know, if we have to play the game last week or 2 weeks ahead, you know, I feel like we'll be ready. Coach Nate, you got a good game plan, and I think we're ready to go. Feeling good.
There you go. That's about all that you can ask for. And, Clint, I'll ask you something else. I already laid out my itinerary when Ruff and Roderick joined us a little more than an hour ago. We're actually going to leave. My wife and I and a couple of friends, we're going to leave early, early, early Saturday morning. We making a good call there? When are you leaving?
I'm leaving about the same time. It'll be early Saturday morning. Going to head on down there and get things going. Get there probably just before kickoff.
All right, so didn't know, number one, if you were going Friday night. I've answered that.
Yeah.
Will you risk I-10, even with an early morning departure?
I think we'll wind up risking, probably wind up cutting off at one point to be able to try and take a little bit of another highway to get to New Orleans, make it a little bit easier.
I don't know if I'm playing that game, man. I really don't. I think I might have to be a 90 cat.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Yes, we rhymed that one.
Wow. No, not only that, but did you just give me like the full on Seinfeld? Oh my God.
This show's gone off the rails.
That hurt me in a part of me that's hard to explain live on the radio. You just hit me with the Seinfeld reference right there. I'm going to try and rebound from that. We've got more coming. James Buers, Under the Dome. Just sucked the life right out of me right there with that. But I am looking forward to that ball game. Part of it for me is, I'll be honest with you, I'm not getting out of Rufino's on the River until a point that wouldn't make a lot of sense to go over to New Orleans. I know there are others that are going to be out at Cajun Field, right? I mean, St. Thomas More, St. Martinville game at the Quatus Jamboree, that thing's not ending until probably 9:15 or 9:30, and that might be generous, right? So it's going to be hard for a lot of people, I think, to get out there on Friday night. So, yes, I will be an early Saturday morning person. Yes, I will be a 90 person, and apparently Clint has informed me that there is nothing wrong with that. Hey, one final check with you, since you're just a silver-tongued devil right now.
Yes.
It is correct that we have a few spots remaining, not this Wednesday, but next in the Jordy Holtberg Fantasy Draft.
Oh, yes, this place. We have plenty of spots still available, so make sure you get your shots up.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think there are people that you all are just, I don't know. You're canning them. I've seen the messages on Facebook. Hey, I'm trying to get into Jordy's League.
Those are in. Guys are in. It's just some like I'm just waiting for my TP, those people who want to get in on the action.
All right, those people. We need them to sign up. Here's how you do it. Just call us, 706-0111. Tell Clint you want to be in Jordy's League. You'll draft Wednesday. September the 4th, it's literally the final day before the regular season. The perfect time to draft a fantasy football team. You'll know every injury, you'll have the perfect insight, and you'll get to hang out with the Blonde Bomber. Not a bad deal at all. Looking forward to getting there on Wednesday night of this week. Myself, B2BS, will have our draft not long after my show is done. Show goes from 4 to 6 on Wednesday. Expected to start drafting around 6:45. If it's anything like last year, clear the women and children off the baseline. We're coming right back in. James Buers talking high school football when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game.
Your NBC Sports Radio update starts now.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Back in with more of your 6 o'clock hour. We are ready to talk some high school football, more than just a little ready. B2BS right back in on 103.7 The Game and waiting aboard the ARCO Equipment Hotline. He'll be good enough to join us Mondays throughout the fall. James Buers of the Acadiana Advocate. James, it is the last Monday in August. It's a beautiful time to be alive.
Man, it's been a very long month for me. I was just telling my boss Kevin Foote that this is probably the longest off season of my life, at least work wise is concerned. I mean, to think that we still have two full more weeks until the first regular season game is kind of crazy. But at least we'll play some organized football games this weekend with Jamborees kicking off Thursday and Friday. So I'm excited about that.
Could you imagine if that Little League baseball team that just won it all was from the Acadiana area? You would have had the busiest August of all time.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to think about that, to be honest. I mean, high school's enough, especially with 40 schools in this area. But, yeah, I can't imagine if that Little League team was from Lafayette.
Alas, they are from River Ridge, and so, okay, you got spared a little bit there. Let's dive right into some Jamboree prep, and still I think the most prestigious in the area by far would be the Kiwanis Jamboree. Thursday, 3 games. Friday, 3 games, all live from Cajun Field. Here's what we'll do. I'll let you pick one that you want to throw a lasso around from each night and discuss. Why don't we start with Thursday night, the one that's drawing your attention, James?
I should also mention, by the way, Ben, that the games on Friday at the Kiwanis Jamboree are going to be televised by Cox 4. So if people want to watch the game on TV, can't make it to Cajun Field, you can watch the game, the Friday Jamboree games, which are Notre Dame Southside, Acadiana Sterling Catholic, and STM St. Martinville. You can watch those games on TV on Cox 4. But, yeah, on Thursday, the game I think I'm looking forward to is Cameron from Brobridge. Both teams are really, really interesting to me. Starting with Brobridge, you know, they lose a ton of talent on defense. I think they had like 8 returning starters last year or something, maybe like 9. Well, they lose all of those guys because those were seniors. So they're having to replace a ton on defense. But the 3 guys they got back, or at least 2 of them, are 2 really good players. One of which is Trevante Sylvester, who's a big-time basketball player for Brobridge. He's already committed to Louisiana Tech to play football at the next level. And then their linebacker Tyrese Martin is one of the better overall defenders, in my opinion, in the area. He's not a big guy, but is a tackling machine and really does a good job for them. But the key for Brobridge, I think, this year is what they can do offensively, because they have a ton of skilled talent led by guys like Dartrevion Gerard, who's committed to Southern Miss. Their running back, Kevon Martin. And then Coach Chad Forshaw is really excited about their new quarterback, Gavin Corville. He's a kid who played JV last year, but has already impressed in summer camps. I think he was like the MVP of the Nichols camp earlier this summer. So I'm really interested to see what Brobridge can do offensively. On the flip side, Karen Crow has a secondary that returns 2 of the better defensive backs in the area, one being Rashad Onazim, who was the district MVP last year in 4-4A. And then Bailey Despani is a kid who's, I think, getting a lot of, some attention in recruiting circles. And then, of course, Karen Crow's in their second year running the Veer offense. So I'm interested to see what the Veer looks like in their second year. They've got a pair of running backs, Kendrell Williams and Traylon Prejean. His nickname is Popcorn. I think both those kids are going to be really good. And plus, they've got experience on the offensive line. They got four three-year starters on the offensive line, which is kind of, it's an incredible luxury to have for any program. So that's the game I'm looking forward to on Thursday. And then Friday, this Notre Dame Southside game really intrigues me just because I haven't seen Southside play yet. They did scrimmage against Westgate, I believe, and I think they held their own okay, at least for most of it. But to go up against a Notre Dame team, an incredibly disciplined, fundamentally sound team, is going to be a big test for Josh Fontenot's group. And, of course, I'm just interested to see what the Pios look like after, they routinely graduate a great senior class, but they got a quarterback back in Ben Broussard, who I think is one of the better quarterbacks in the area. And then C.J. Thibodeau, their running back, the kid who's been playing for a while. And I think, he might not be able to replace the production of Noah Bouzra, the running back they had last year, but I think he'll be able to hold his own really well. But the other game, though, is Acadian and Trillian Cap, but I think that's the best matchup. Acadiana, of course, has Dylan Monette back and some experience on the offensive line. And, Keontae Williams, their quarterback, got a lot of good experience last year. And I think Acadiana has a chance to really challenge in 5A this year. And then Terling's Catholic, after a subpar year by their standards, even Ben Chaponche will admit that, brings back their quarterback, Sammy LeBlanc, and plus two really good linebackers in R.J. Tripp and Bradley Boudreau. So I'm interested to see what those two teams look like as well.
He is James Buehrs, a beast of a prep reporter for the Acadiana Advocate. I'll let you catch your breath, amigo. A few things I would say. One, I'm glad to know that those Friday games will be on Cox 4. I'll be catching them maybe on my way, if that's possible, toward New Orleans for that game. The Cages are playing the next morning. But a reminder to everybody, we will have Carrick-Crow Brobridge here on 103.7 The Game live on Thursday, late afternoon, early evening. A few other things. You mentioned Rashad Onazim. I vividly remember when they didn't have him listed in the program a couple of years ago, James. And so Blaine and I are calling the game, and they told us to just call him Rashad the freshman. So now this kid, Rashad the senior, he's a pretty damn good football player. The other thing I'll tell you, I'm glad you mentioned Southside up against Notre Dame. I think right now Coach Fontenot and the Sharks, they know they've got some pretty intriguing skill players. Their quarterback awfully good as well. But where they're going to be tested, and they know this, at the 3-5A level, is on both sides of the line. So if you want to challenge yourself on either side of the line, the Pios are a pretty good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's where Notre Dame wins games, is at the line of scrimmage. Of course they have, good running backs and quarterbacks who know what they're doing, but the reason Notre Dame is so successful is because they play fundamentally sound at the line of scrimmage and are able to bully teams, frankly. And sometimes with guys who aren't even, that big, they just know what they're doing up front. So, it'll be really interesting test for Southside. I should also mention, though, the STM St. Martinville game, that's going to be really interesting as well. I think St. Martinville has a real chance to challenge in 3A, not only in their district, but statewide as well. And, of course, STM, we talk about them all the time with all their offensive talent. So that'll be a good test for St. Martinville defense that does return a lot on their defense.
All right, let's go lightning round style, James. I know that we don't have many other huge marquee jamborees with multiple games, but that does mean we have some intriguing kind of one-off opportunities. So I'll get to three. We'll take them one at a time and move quickly. Eunice versus Iota, your thoughts?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Eunice, of course, moved up to Class 4A this year after winning the state championship in 3A, and they're in a weird district that, has two Lake Charles teams, that one being LaGrange that moved down from 5A and the other being Washington Marion that moves up from 3A as well, plus Rain and North Vermilion are in that district, and none of those Acadiana area teams were in the same district last year, so we'll see what happens with that. But Eunice returns several really good offensive players that were sophomores last year that kind of powered them to that state championship last year. Simeon Arduin, their quarterback, and Dion Arduin, his twin brother, among the better ones. And then Iota, of course, got to the semifinals last year, had probably their best season since the early 2000s when they were making runs to the state championship game last year, but fell short in the semifinals against Sterlington. But they've got their all-state running back, Luke Duce, back. So I think Iota will be pretty good this year as well.
All right, next up, LCA, another defending champ, taking on Catholic High, Point Coupee.
Yeah, LCA returns a lot of offensive talent. Errol Rogers, the UL commitment of late, is going to play quarterback for them this year after Zach Claymont graduated and is now at Northwestern State. But You know, he'll be helped by Logan Gabriel, the running back who's been playing for them a while. Of course, when you talk about LCA, you got to talk about Sage Ryan. He's one of the better overall players in the area and is getting recruited by high major programs already as a junior. So I'll be interested to see what LCA can do against the Catholic High Point Compete team, who's normally one of the better ones in 1A. I believe they run a wing T or an option sort of offense. So I'll be interested to see if LCA can handle that run-based offense of Catholic High Point Compete.
We finish off some lightning round jamboree talk with James Buers, the Acadiana Advocate. Catholic New Iberia taking a trip north against Natchitoches Central. So if you could break down the Panthers and the Chiefs, that's a 5A team.
Don't know a whole lot about Natchitoches Central, but Catholic New Iberia, you know they're going to run the wing T as well as any team in the area. You know, Trey Amos, their quarterback, is back. He recently committed to UL as well. And then they also got a running back in Trey Henry. And, of course, they're usually always really good up front. So I'm interested to see what Catholic New Iberia can do this year, especially once they get to the playoffs, because in Division III with LCA moving up, St. Charles Catholic moving down, you know, that division became a lot more difficult. So it might not be as easy for Catholic High to get back to the state championship game. But I think playing a team like Natchitoches Central to start the season is a good early test for them and will help them get ready for the season.
James, always appreciate the time. Again, I know you've had a long August, but September, it's going to rock. And before you know it, you and I will be at the Dome and maybe at some other exotic locations for the select teams watching state championship games. I promise it's going to fly by.
Absolutely, man. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
James Buers, again, with the Acadiana Advocate. Thrilled to have him on Mondays to break down everything that happened in the week that was. We'll be right back in. Clint Domang, fixing to take you under the Dome. The men and women wait for this all day long, and the kids too. So stick with us. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Hey, it's a Monday, but you better believe it has been a great day. Glad we got one more crack at it. Stepping back up to the plate, Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. So many great interviews today, and really there's a lot of great high school football that we're about to slam into. I'm serious, like fullback linebacker style. But before any of those collisions, I got to tell you something that kind of smacked me like a 2x4 between the eyes. I really didn't know until maybe a week ago that we no longer had, just for example, what, the Ironman Jamboree. I was so accustomed to my first 4 years in this market that you had not only the six games that were contested at the Kiwanis Jamboree, I was just used to more, right? More teams congregating with multiple games. I know that sometimes to get through a lot of that, you had to have, for example, like Notre Dame's JV team that would play someone. So I know they always had to kind of twist and turn to get somewhere. But again, maybe about a week ago, that was at least a mini revelation to me. And yet, as James Buers with the Acadiana Advocate told you, other side of our last break, you've got Eunice Iota, LCA Catholic Point Capi, Catholic New Iberia, Natchitoches Central, and earlier this hour we had a little discussion as well about a team that, well, they're just a magnet to the state semifinals in Class 3A recently, and of course that's Kaplan. They're going to be taking on the Rain Wolves, so everybody getting ready to compete with everybody else. Just maybe in a different fashion than you're used to. I don't mind telling you, a different fashion than I'm used to. So these one-off jamborees, again, even when I was coming up, yeah, I know, way back in my day, which is getting closer to 20 years ago than 15. That just got real sad for me. But still, the point is, we always did that in Baton Rouge. We were part of jamborees that had a Catholic, a BR, a Redemptorist. At the time, Bishop Sullivan, okay, again, I feel old, that's now St. Michael's, and a couple other teams would come in from, I guess, ever so slightly out of the area. But nonetheless, this Thursday, this Friday, we will have high school football. And then the following Friday, September the 6th, it's Judge Mills Lane style from Celebrity Deathmatch. You know, I know you like that reference, Clint. Let's get it on. And we will. And Judge Mills Lane, he will allow it. And we're excited about all of our games on Acadiana Sports Station and beyond on our Delta Media family of stations. One more time, the rundown. And then the famous Clint D, he's tapping toes. He's getting fidgety. We'll let him take you under the dome, college football style. But on the prep side of things, Danny Jones and company, again, will dominate this airwave. 103.7 The Game, your home for St. Thomas More Cougars football. We will have football night in Acadiana pregame and postgame, sandwiching Danny's, I don't know, 3.5-hour tour, Gilligan Island style. So STM football right here, Karen Crow Golden Bears football, myself and Blaine Viator on Z105.9, Mustang 107.1, your new home for the newest team in the area, Southside High Sharks football. Don Allen is going to pilot the ship there on 106.3 Radio Lafayette for your Vermilion Parish Game of the Week. You'll have a lot of Kaplan, pretty fair amount of North Vermilion, VC, Erath, Abbeville. Give me another fun year for that group. And on the rewind on our Lake Charles branch of that station, 104.1 FM out of Oak Grove Lake Chuck, you'll have Barb football year two of the Bucks there. And then it'll be Lafayette High football on both 97.7 FM and 1330 AM in this area. Raymond Parts III and company. Again, we're going to have a lot of fun this year with high school football. But speaking of fun and speaking of football, or at least maybe the latter, because I'm not sure the former applies. Florida versus Miami was fun only if you really like turnover-laden, semi-ugly football. But don't take my word for it. Clint, what's your good word on that ugly game?
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
While that wild and wacky ball game to start off the 2019 college football season between Miami and Florida was a mess and a half, you have to love it because, one, you college football back in your life. I think you want to take in the good with the bad in this sense. I think you need to wind up enjoying what's going on with the Florida Gators and the Miami Hurricanes in that ball game to start off the season, because guess what? Week zero, you wouldn't have given a rat's behind about heading into it if you didn't have that and just had the Arizona-Hawaii game. While that Arizona-Hawaii game was some really good stuff, it's not going to draw people to it. It's not going to get people going for the start of college football season. I think you have at least one marquee week zero game, be it in Orlando, New Orleans, wherever it is. I can tell you right now, that's going to draw all the dimes, and I think that's absolutely huge for the future of college football. Give me that over anything else that the NCAA can think of. What they did this past weekend was phenomenal for the sport and also got a lot of eyes on it. At the end of the day, that's all that matters when it comes to the four-letter network and anybody else who wants to cover college football. It is back, and I absolutely love it. Just please, can we get at least some halfway decent games out of it?
There you have it. Yeah. Earlier today, I told him that this topic was coming down the turnpike and he got excited about it. Why shouldn't he? The segment became so popular, it spun off into its own show. At least I think that's what happened. So again, our salute to Clint Domang. And of course, you can catch him 10 until noon, Saturday mornings on 103.7 The Game. It's Under the Dome and it's the perfect time of year for Clint to get you ready for your college football action on Acadiana Sports Station. Big Monday, and this is the way you start off a game week. I know, I spent a lot of time, in particular in the 4 o'clock hour, on the big storyline worldwide. Let's just own it. Not just the national thing, but if you're not taking stock and playing the perspective game with the Andrew Luck news, I'm just not sure that you're a human being. We all love sports. Some of us are absolute fanatics, but this has to make you think about sports place in the world, sports place in people's lives, especially the ones that, well, they do it for a living, whether they're playing it, coaching it, managing it, what have you. Just an incredibly intriguing storyline. So again, thanks to everyone for joining in on that conversation over the air on social media as well. I want to thank our guest to boot, Gus Kattengill. We got the gang back together, and we'll have more of that later this week. But Gus talked all things New Orleans Saints football in the 4 o'clock hour. Ruffin Rodri did Ruffin things in the 5 o'clock hour. Tank Lotief on the Kaplan Pirates. And most recently, within the last 10 to 15 minutes, our good buddy James Buers of the Acadiana Advocate all over prep football. And again, we're getting the gang back together. I'll repeat it because it's true, and this is where our weekly programming starts that you can just set your watch to. Gus Kattengill, Ruffin Rodriguez, James Buers. Every Monday, we'll get a dose of the Saints, then a little heavier on LSU-UL, and then prep football. Tuesdays, it'll be Flip the Script with Shay Dixon time. You'll have that back in your life tomorrow at 5. Wednesdays at 4:30, Spreadheads with Cousin Dino. We kick off the season debut edition this week when I'm out at Twin Peaks on Johnston. Thursdays, Gordy Rush, LSU football sideline reporter at 5. Blaine Viator, high school football at 6. And then on Fridays, Justin Vincent, LSU national champion, won a title as well with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And a former Bar Buck, JV, will join us Fridays at 5. And at 6 o'clock, you'll have football night in Acadiana. That one will start next week. A lot of big things coming right here on 103.7 The Game. So make sure you buckle up, or maybe buckle the chin strap for football season. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love. Enjoy your evening. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 with more Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game.